comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Tomorrow is K-Files Day. That means we will be sending out our free weekly newsletter tomorrow. We send it out each Friday, and we want you to get it. Furthermore, you need to be getting it. So if you are not yet subscribed to the K-Files, go to my website, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe, all right? You'll get a confirmation email with a link in it you have to click in order to activate your subscription. Do that, and you're in. It is truly free. No strings attached. No tricks. It is free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Saturday, this coming Saturday, is the first Saturday of the month, and that means I will be in the chat room. So what you do is you go to our chat room in the members area at showtime. So whatever time it is right now in your part of the world, that's the time that I'll be in the chat room, all right? And I look forward to it. I hope you'll be there. We always have a good time there, and get a chance to just kind of hang out and visit with folks and make new friends. And sometimes we talk about things that are serious, and sometimes we chat about things that are not. It's just kind of a free for all, but we have a good time. And I hope you'll be there. I really do. Now, you have to be a member. But look, that's only 23 cents. 23 cents a day. I promise you, we're way underpriced. At $6.95, what you get in the members area in value is way more than $6.95 worth. $6.95 a month. That comes out to 23 cents a day. Just go ahead and join up, become a member, and you will see it is well worth it. We still have a little bit of a push going on, actually pretty important one, to make up our budget for last month. Now, last month was a particularly difficult month for a lot of people. We had a number of members who had to cancel because they lost their jobs. We had other members who their automatic payment of $6.95 failed. And you add them together, and we came in significantly under budget. And we can't survive that way. This show is 100% listener-supported. We don't sell ads. Now, I know there are people that say, well, I'm not going to pay nothing. You ought to sell ads. But if I did that, you'd be complaining because there were ads. The time has come for you to join and be a part of the community, and you will enjoy it. You'll be glad you did. But what I've done, there is a button on the website that says donate. So if you click that and you donate $50 or more, I'm going to send you this DVD. It has 22 hours of some of the hottest shows in the last year in video. We'll be back right after this.
Come on.
Welcome back. This is the Kevin Smith Show, and this is the Kevin Smith. Now, tonight we're going to do something. I have done this before, but it's been really, I think, several years since I did it. What I'm going to do is answer one of the emails I got from a listener in depth on the air. Now, I get a lot of email, and I love it. While there are just way too many emails for me to answer every one of them, I assure you I do read every one of them, and I love it. Your emailed suggestions and comments are the fuel that the Kevin Smith Show runs on. And so it's very important you make this show. This show is very much a partnership between me and you. Well, I received an email from a person who started listening to the show within this past year. And she asked two questions. Now, that email, if you go to my website and you look at the picture that talks about tonight's show, that's about tonight's show, that email is on that picture. So she asked two questions in that email. Why do you do what you do, and isn't it dangerous? Her name is Glennis. Glennis, I want to thank you for the email, and let me tell you, you are not alone, my dear. There are a great many people who have those same questions, and those are very important questions. They are at the very heart of what I do each and every day. So tonight, I hope to shed some light on the Kevin Smith Show and its host, and what it is we're up to here. Now, back in 2000, I was an international police officer serving in Kosovo. And in 2000, I was serving as chief of a unit called Information Collection and Analysis, and we were attached to mission headquarters. I had only two people above me in the chain of command. That would be the deputy commissioner and the commissioner. Now, the job of this unit was to gather information from all over Kosovo, do professional analysis of it, and then put together a briefing for the commissioner and top commanders of the international police in Kosovo each morning. In short, it was an intel operation. That is what I was doing when I started this show. Now, I'm not going to get into how we started the show and why we started the show and all that. I've done that before. And you know that story, and if you don't, well, it's in the archives. But I started this show from my very, very tiny apartment in Pristina, Kosovo. We have some folks in our audience each night, probably tonight, who have been listening to this show since those first shows from Kosovo. But the question is, why do I do what I do? And that question really has a first cousin. And I get asked this, especially when I appear as a guest on other shows. I get asked, why would an international police officer be interested in the paranormal and UFOs? Well, Glennis, here's the answer. As an intel officer, I was keenly aware that almost the entire world around us is really a manufactured reality. It is real all on its own, but what we think about it, how we perceive it, how we respond to it, it's all manufactured by people who know the secrets. You are trained to think that certain things are true when they may not be, and very often are not true. And then you respond to situations based on that manufactured truth. Thus, you have responded in the way the secret keepers wanted you to respond. Now, I'm going to give an example that I know a lot of you have heard this before, but new folks have not heard it, and it's a very, very real and very, very accurate example of exactly what I'm talking about. In the case of Kosovo, you were trained by the President, the Secretary of, and Secretary of State to believe that the Serb army and police were committing genocide in Kosovo against the Albanians who live there. That was all over the news every day. You were shown satellite photos. You may remember this. There was a before and after shot. And these were satellite photos of a particular field that they said is in Kosovo. And it is a field in Kosovo. So it was before and after. And they said these photos are supposedly taken, I think they were taken just, you know, a few days apart. And the before picture just shows a field, and the after picture shows that this field has been dug up, and, you know, it, they said that those are mass graves. Well, Glynis, I can tell you that that entire story was manufactured. The whole thing was to get you ready, to get you, as part of the public, ready mentally and emotionally to bomb Yugoslavia in order to drive out those evil, genocidal Serbs and liberate those poor, oppressed Albanians. They know that you would have that kind of an emotional response to it. But like I said, I can tell you the entire story was manufactured. The photos were manufactured. It was a lie. How do I know that? Well, I've stood in that field. After I saw that on TV, I went out there and stood in that field. Now, that was actually in 1999. Might have been very, very early in 2000. At that point, I was not working as an international police officer. At that point, I was assigned as a diplomatic observer. But as a diplomatic observer, I was assigned as a liaison between the Serb police and the international community. And I lived and worked right in the heart of the rebel stronghold, the Drenica region of Kosovo. So I was living and working every day right where they said those mass killings and mass graves were. They weren't there. It didn't happen. Now, when you may remember, whenever the bombing ceased and people started going back into Kosovo, I went back in, but this time as international police again. But the International War Crimes Tribunal, the chief prosecutor, Carla Del Ponte, sent investigators down there because she had seen the president and the generals and the secretary of state, and she had heard all those statements about how genocide was taking place, and she had seen those photos. So she sent investigators in there to get started so that they could get these war crimes on the books and get people charged. And do you know how many mass graves they found? Zero. Zero mass graves full of Albanians. You know why? Because it was all a lie. It didn't happen. It wasn't happening. It didn't happen. Now, if you think that I'm kidding about that, or you think I'm not being, my facts are wrong somehow, go check it out yourself. Go to the United Nations website, click on the link to the Security Council, go to their archives for 1999 and 2000, and look up, do a search for all of the reports from Carla Del Ponte, and you will read it. It was fiction. Now, all over Europe, they read a headline after Carla Del Ponte's report on this to the Security Council. All over Europe, they read this headline. Clinton administration exaggerates by 800%. And it was all about how it just wasn't true. Well, I don't know about you, but where I come from, a 100% exaggeration is a damn lie. But you see, all of this was done to manipulate you by giving you information. They manipulated the information and thus manipulated you into being ready for and pro-intervention in Kosovo. That's what it was done for. Now, the only mass graves they did find, they found three that I'm aware of, but they were not full of Albanians. They were full of Serbs put there by the drug lord Kosovo Liberation Army, allies of the United States. So they were full of Serbs, the people that we said were doing the genocide. Knowledge is power. You're trained to think that, but it isn't. That's what the manipulators want you to think. Secrets are power, folks. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. Okay, so there's two ways for people who are in power to stay in power. Only two. There's two models. You can be talking about government, or you can be talking about the chairman of the board of some corporation. Anybody that's got a little power, two ways to stay in power. One is a model based on truth and consent, agreement. The other model is based on fear and force. Now, the first model, trust and consent, requires truth, integrity, and transparency. To the degree that you lack transparency, to that same degree, you're lacking honesty, integrity. So, once any government or corporation or any power structure start down that path, then they have to cover up what they've already done, and that's untruthful. It's dishonest. And that creates more lies to keep covering up, more dishonesty, less integrity. Automatically, it shifts them into the second model. The second model of remaining in power is fear and force. And they reach a point where the only way to stay in power is to create fear as an excuse to use force. And you're watching this happen right now in Egypt. But you've seen it in action right here in the USA and in European countries all across Europe. So why do I do what I do? Well, what is it that I do? Generally, I take statements and evidence provided by agencies of the government with regard to UFOs, extraterrestrials, the true history of Earth, the true history of our species, futuristic science, paranormal phenomena, and I put it under a microscope, and I present it to you on the air. And then I very meticulously parse what's been said. And I say, well, if that's true, then what about this over here? And if that's true, then this over here can't be true. And look at this evidence. I analyze their statements. I analyze their evidence on the air. And I invite you to think with me about that evidence. I invite you not to believe me. You've never heard me ask you to believe me. In 10 years, you've never heard me say you should believe me. But you've heard me say it over and over again. Let's think about this, folks. I invite you to think with me. I present it to you. I provide you my analysis of it. I invite you to think with me about it. I invite you to question it. And I challenge you not to take it at face value, but to truly dig into it and see, pardon me, if it's truth or if it's manipulation. So again, why do I do it? Well, secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. the more we buy at face value their manufactured reality, the more control they have over us. The more we buy their manufactured reality, the more we become victims and slaves. So I guess in short, I do it because I love freedom. I love being free, and I love freedom. Now, Glennis, your second question was, isn't it dangerous? And to that, the answer is an unqualified yes. Yes, it is. At times, it has been, and it can be and will be again at times in the future dangerous. You see, folks, by doing what I do, millions of people have begun to learn to really analyze the information that they're being presented by the media. Yes, we focus on UFOs, extraterrestrials, ancient history, futuristic science, etc. But once you learn to parse and analyze the information with a high level of proficiency, that skill flows over into every other area of your life, so that you're able, and you automatically then begin to analyze, to parse, to pull it apart, examine it, and question it, all the information you're being given. You find yourself peeling back layers of lies off of all kinds of information that the manipulators are putting out through the media. And that makes this a potentially dangerous endeavor. There are a few things that absolutely, absolutely terrify the powers that be. Things like light, truth, transparency, and, oh my God, the word no. See, they know that once you're adept at analyzing all that they say and all the so-called evidence they present, they're finished. They know that. They know that they have manufactured most of the fear that's in our society. They know that when you really know what they're up to and how they do it, that's the key, knowing how they do it. They cannot control you any longer. It's over. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back. Let me wrap up on why I do what I do and whether it's dangerous or not. And then I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about. I want to tell you again something that is so important for you to get into your psyche. It's you embed this in your mind. Knowledge is not power. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. And they don't want you to have knowledge. They want you to have information. Information that they have manipulated and that they dole out through their butt-kissing media agents. So that's why I do what I do. That's why it carries some dangers with it. Now, Glennis, this second question of isn't it dangerous, it also has a first cousin. This question, the first cousin is, aren't you afraid? You know, isn't it dangerous? Well, aren't you afraid? Because yes, it's dangerous. It can be. And the answer is a resounding no. I am well aware that a time will very likely come when I and everyone else who does something similar to what I do, anyone else involved in shining light into these dark corners, will be rounded up. That isn't paranoia, it's a fact. Remember, I've made my living at and have been able to stay alive and survive because of being able to make very accurate analysis of situations and trends. So there'll come a time, maybe soon, when we will be arrested, possibly executed, but I doubt that, arrested. And when that time comes, it just does. On that day, my mission is completed. But I refuse to fear anything or anyone. It's not on my menu. I want to get into some examples of evidence that show what I'm talking about, that we're not being told the truth. Now, while, you know, I've told you that the reason I do what I do is because I want you to have the ability to parse, I want and to analyze the evidence, because I like freedom. But we focus not on government things, you know, like Democrats and Republicans. We don't get into the politics and policies and things like that. But you'll see from these examples exactly what I'm talking about, and the same skills you develop in analyzing these examples and others that I bring to you on the show, these same skills automatically carry over into other information that you get fed by the swine media. So let's start with one that some people will say, well, that's political. It's, what I'm going to share with you is not political. Okay? It's just an example because it has nothing to do with someone being a Democrat or being a Republican. It's just something our government is doing, and it's in the news. And here's an example of how this flows over into all areas. So we'll start with some statements the president has made recently about what's going on in Egypt. He has told the Egyptian government they need to turn that internet back on and stop blocking Twitter and Facebook. Pretty interesting. Sounds very pro-freedom, doesn't it? So no one would ever suspect, since he's taking that stand, which they're saying is a pretty hard stand against someone who's been an ally of the United States, since he's taking that stand, no one would ever suspect that he would do the same thing in America. No one would ever suspect that he would shut down the internet or shut down certain websites that annoy him. And yet, right at this moment, there is a bill working its way toward him that gives him something he asked for. He asked basically for a kill switch. He asked for the power as president to shut down the internet, or to shut down portions of it, or to shut down certain websites. So this bill is working its way toward him right now. If it passes, he'll sign it, giving him the authority to do the very thing he told the Egyptians don't do. It's been my experience that people don't buy a car unless they intend to drive a car. You wouldn't ask for and get this authority unless you intend to use it. So what's up with that? Is he like just lying? No. The analysis would be this. Now that he's made these statements very public on national and international television, that Egypt's actions are not good, and they need to turn that internet back on and allow the free flow of information. Now that he's done that, no one will think that he would do the same thing, and that reduces resistance to this very tyrannical bill. And it improves the chances of it passing. This, you see how it works? This is the way they manipulate the information, and it creates manipulated, manufactured reality that isn't real. The manufactured reality isn't real. No lie has ever been told without a purpose. No obfuscation is ever made without a purpose. If we're being lied to about anything, there is a purpose. The purpose is to benefit the liar in some way. So, if NASA lies to you about something, it's because they or the military or the administration see a benefit in keeping a secret. Now, you have to always ask yourself, who benefits and how do they benefit? If they have descended into the fear and force model of governing, which they have, every secret is designed to add to the fear and increase their ability to use force. Every lie we identify, every dark corner into which we shine light, adds to our freedom. It takes us out of the realm of their manufactured reality. In short, folks, the power elite want you to believe you're a kangaroo and hop when they say hop. So I'm going to show you some examples of, I mean, this is very, this method that they're using to manufacture reality is pervasive. It's pervasive. It even gets into the movies, it gets into novels, it gets into music, it gets into even how much of science you're allowed to know. It gets into history and the version of history they give you and allow you to know. So let's look at some examples, okay? I'm going to start off in Australia. Did you know that in Australia there are Egyptian hieroglyphs and there's at least one pyramid? Did you know that? Most people think that the Egyptians were not a seafaring people, but they were. There are Egyptian hieroglyphs, real Egyptian hieroglyphs, carved into big stone walls in Australia. They want us to believe that the Great Pyramid was built by these Egyptians. Now, these Egyptians that went to Australia, they certainly were. They were a cut above the average on the earth at that time. They were the most powerful nation on earth at the time. They were highly intelligent. But did you know that while you go to Egypt and you look at all the carvings and paintings and things on all these walls, and there are carvings and paintings about every aspect of Egyptian life. You see people farming. You see people hunting. You see people fighting. You see people in a marketplace. You see people coming before their kings. You see people depicted doing a construction project. So there's drawings and hieroglyphic writings about every aspect of Egyptian life. And yet, in all of it, there's not one that shows or speaks about the construction of the Great Pyramid. They want us to focus on that. They want us to believe that the Egyptians are who built the Great Pyramids. When we know the Egyptians didn't have tools that could even cut that rock that the pyramids were built with. When they built pyramids, they built them out of softer rock and mud brick. They built some pyramids, but that Great Pyramid, and they give us this official story, you know, that it was done in 20 to 30 years. Well, you couldn't do it. You simply couldn't do it. We could not do it today. There are far too many rocks, not rocks, but stones that have to be put in place very precisely. And there have been some calculations done. If it was done in the 20-year period that standard Egyptology tells us, you would have to be setting a new stone in place something like every 2 minutes. It can't be done. I mean, you couldn't even unbuckle. If you had a crane, if you had one of our massive super cranes, you couldn't even unbuckle a rock, set it in place, and drop the hoist down to pick up another rock in 2 minutes. You couldn't do it. Well, then you have to ask yourself, okay, most people say, well, if the Egyptians didn't do it, who did it? That is an interesting and important question. Here's another one. Why do they want us to believe the Egyptians did it? Why don't they want us to know that somebody else did it? Why don't they want us to know that? Now, that's a huge question. It's a bigger question. The answer to that question gets into their hold on power. If you knew who really did it, and you knew it really wasn't the Egyptians, you might find these powerful people a little bit more irrelevant. They don't want you to know. And so they have heisted, and hijacked history. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to show you some more examples on this planet and off this planet. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about manufactured reality and how they go about it. I'm going to show you another example. I think most of you have heard of the Hollow Earth Theory. The Hollow Earth Theory comes in various flavors or various theories, variations of the theory, but basically it says that inside of this Earth is a great cavity. Great hollow area, and that there is civilization on the inside of that. That's one theory. But another theory is that it's just there, and they don't say there's any civilization. But whenever you talk about this, people scoff, they laugh, they say, really? All right. Let me give you a real simple experiment you can do. All right. Get a bucket that's got a bale over it, you know, where you can, a handle that you can hang on to. Now, fill it, say, half or three quarters full of water. And then just tip it over a little bit and see what happens. Water comes out, right? Now, hold it by the bale. Begin to spin around. Just spin around in a circle and allow your arm to come up with the bucket. As you spin around, that bucket will swing outward so that the bottom of the bucket is pointed out. The top of the bucket will be pointed right at your face, and you'll be looking at the water staying in the bucket because of inertia and some other forces. So the bucket is turned up, and normally the water would run out. If you just turn it up like that, the water runs out. But because you're spinning, the water stays put. So the theory says that because the sphere of the Earth is spinning, that there has been a space created, a very large space created on the inside of the Earth as the spinning has pushed matter to the bottom of the crust. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't been on the inside of the Earth. But they say in these theories that at the North Pole and the South Pole, there is an entrance, a giant hole, a big entrance into the inner Earth. Most of the time, if you get satellite pictures like Google Earth or something like that of the North Pole or the South Pole, there's an area that's shaded out, blacked out, or fudged and fizzed out so that you can't see what's there. Have you ever wondered about that? Well, there are some big, big holes. This is looking straight down from space onto Antarctica at a giant hole that's really deep. Now, does this go to the inner Earth? I don't know. This is one that didn't get obscured. This is one that somehow got out. And you can see that there are these big holes. There is at least this one right there at the near the South Pole. Furthermore, if you go look on Google, do a Google search for this, you will find that there are a couple of pyramids in Antarctica. Why don't they want us to know about this? You heard the show I did the other night on Lake Vostok and the mysteries of Lake Vostok, right? You heard that show. And the big mystery about that magnetic anomaly and then the fact that they're about to drill through this ice cap. And I did some further research on that. And by the way, because somebody asked me how much space is there from the surface of the water, because there's a liquid water lake under 2.25 miles of ice. So how much space is there from the surface of that water up to where the ice begins and then continues on for 2.25 miles? I didn't know the answer to that when I was asked that during the show. I did a little research on that. It's about a half a mile. There's about a half a mile of space from the water up to where the ice begins. About a half a mile. You could fly an airplane in there. Why don't they want us to know about all of that mystery? Why did they shut down the flow of information as soon as they found that magnetic anomaly? See, the question is, like, we go back to the pyramids, and you want to know, well, if it wasn't the Egyptians, who built it? Okay, that is an interesting and important question. But equally interesting and more important, why don't they want us to know that it was someone else besides the Egyptians? Why don't they want us to know? There is the biggest mystery. Why don't they want us to know the real story about this magnetic anomaly? At Lake Vostok, I'm referring to the magnetic anomaly at Lake Vostok. The whys involved here, folks, have to do with hanging on to power. The whys have to do with secrets are power. Because of the fact that we don't know, and we don't know because they won't tell us, they've made it a secret, they're keeping it a secret. Because of that, it causes people to have curiosity, yes, and fear. That's exactly what manipulators want. Manipulators want you to have that fear. Because so long as you have that fear, they can come along and say, don't worry, we'll take care of it, we'll protect you. It's way, way too sensitive for us to let this information out. But don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. That's how it's done. And you see, they do it not only in the news, like I gave you the example. I gave you two examples. One, where President Clinton gets up and says there's genocide going on in Kosovo. And it's documented, verifiably untrue. But because you feared what would happen to these people, you were ready, willing, and able for America to engage and to be part of and lead the NATO bombing on Yugoslavia. Now, I'm not getting into whether we should have bombed them, should not have bombed them. That is political. I'm giving you the facts as they lay on the ground. There was no genocide. Everybody was all upset because Bush said there was going to be weapons of mass destruction in there, and they didn't find any. But have you forgotten? Is your memory so short? The Clinton said there's going to be thousands of bodies in mass graves, and there weren't any. What I'm talking about here is manipulation of reality. But they do it, it's so pervasive, they do it with everything because secrets are power. Let's go to Mars. They tell us that Mars is a dead planet. They tell us that there is no life there. And they tell us that there, as far as they know, there never has been. But we're looking for it. Well, they do their best before NASA releases photographs to the public, they do their best to locate every little something that might show some signs of life on Mars, either past or present. And they smudge those out. But they don't get them all. Now, those who are watching on our TV channel are looking at a big complex, some kind of building, a couple of buildings. It's on Mars. Now, for a lot of people, they say, you know, well, you know, this NASA, it's big news to them because they say, well, NASA lied to us. Well, yeah, duh. They've been doing it since they started. But that's not the big question. The big question is why? The answer to why leads you straight to the manipulators who manufacture reality. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Manufactured reality. Well, let's take a look at some more. You might say, well, you know, that picture from Mars, you know, that could be just some kind of natural formation. How about a lighthouse? Would that do you? those who are watching our TV channel are looking at a picture right now that shows a very large tower emanating from that tower. Is a whole bunch of light focused in one direction coming from that tower. Now, that would seem to indicate, would it not, that there is some sort of intelligent life there now, or at least machines that are very well built and they are on autopilot. And yet, NASA would have you think, well, we just don't know if there's life on Mars. Folks, they know there's life on Mars. They know it. They found it in 1976. In 1976, we had the Viking lander. The Viking lander had an experiment package designed by Dr. Gil Levin. Dr. Levin, his experiment was to test for biological signs of biological processes. The test showed positive. And there was a big hoopla and you know, oh, yay. And then almost immediately, NASA comes back and says, well, we're not sure about that. We're going to run another test. And so they ran another test, but not a test with Gil Levin's science package. They used a different science package that was on the Viking lander that was not designed to check for signs of biological processes. And surprise, it didn't find any. So they went with that. And they said, no, there's no life. The first one was wrong. There's no life. Since then, a couple of things have happened that have put cracks in their story. There's this little thing called the European Space Agency, quite a serious space agency, I might add. And one of their scientists discovered that there's methane in the atmosphere of Mars. Methane is generally a byproduct of biological processes. Methane can be expelled into the atmosphere by a volcano, but there are no active volcanoes on Mars. And what they discovered, they said, well, you know, methane, he published that, and then NASA comes back and says, well, yeah, but, you know, methane can be in that atmosphere for about 400 years before it would dissipate. So, you know, we're not sure the source of it, but it does. It's probably not biological. Now they've come back and they said, we've discovered the methane cannot be in that atmosphere for 400 years. I think they said that it can be there for about a month and then it's dissipated by the ultraviolet light. So whatever caused that methane did it within a month of you discovering it. Furthermore, the same scientist over at the ESA discovered there was ammonia in the upper atmosphere of Mars. And ammonia can only last for 6 hours. Ammonia is quite often a byproduct of biological processes. Those of you with a little baby know. Little baby pees its diaper. If you don't get that diaper off that baby, the urine breaks down into a couple of different compounds, and it gets this real strong ammonia smell. It has a strong ammonia smell because that's ammonia. And so, again, evidence of possible biological processes, right? They sent the Phoenix lander up to the North Pole of Mars. And the scientist in charge of that said they scooped up some dirt, they put it in a little oven and burned it, they sniffed the gases coming off of it with sensors, and he said that dirt is just like the dirt in your backyard. You could probably grow asparagus in it. His name's Dr. Peter Smith. He's at the University of Arizona in Tucson, Arizona. And within hours, you had other NASA scientists jumping up saying, now, wait a minute, When we burned that soil and we sniffed it and everything, it had perchlorate in it. And that would that's something you use in rocket fuel, and that would preclude life. And you remember the show. I know you do. If you've been listening for any length of time, you remember the show. That night I went on the air, and I had printed out from the internet the charts from their test. It's called the TIGA test. And those charts showed that when they burned when they applied high heat to the soil, it gave up a lot of oxygen, big spike of oxygen, and not a single blip for chlorine. In order to have perchlorate, you have to have chlorine. All they got was oxygen. I did a little study on perchlorate, and that night I said, on the air, 27 states, there are 50 states in the United States, 27, that's more than half, have perchlorate in their soil and or water. Does it preclude life? Does it prevent there being life in those 27 states? No. So why, and then they backed up the next day after that show. I don't know if it was as a result of this show, but I hope so. They backed up and they said, well, it wouldn't necessarily mean that you couldn't have life. But I'll tell you what they didn't do. They didn't admit they lied about perchlorate, and they did. There was no chlorine. It was just oxygen. Back in 1976, when the Viking lander was there, and they were running those experiments, the chief biologist, Dr. Harold Klein, said, and I have the recording of it, you've heard me play it on the air. He said, and I quote, what we found was that there was 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than we can account for from all known sources. But there's still today publishing on the NASA website that there's almost no oxygen there. They're still publishing the same number that they were publishing in 1976. So the question, and this is what we do here, this is what I do, the question is why? Who benefits from the lie? Who benefits from keeping it secret? Keeping it a secret from you that they found life there or signs of biological process that would be life, be caused by life. Who benefits from that? Who benefits from keeping it a secret that they have found ruins there, buildings? Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. There's no life on Mars. Well, you need to go to a website. I think it's called Mars Anomaly. Mars Anomalies Research, I think it's what it's called. But just do a Google search on J.P. Skipper and go to his website. And what he's done is taken black and white photographs from NASA, and he's clarified them. In some cases, NASA releases them to you with them turned upside down. Once you orient them properly, the way you would see them if you were flying over Mars, they take on a whole different appearance. And sometimes he sees something that looks familiar. He saw something that looked like a forest of some type of evergreen trees. And so he colorized that to see what would it look like if it had color. Lo and behold, this looks like a forest of pine trees. Now, this doesn't mean that Mars is just thoroughly covered with pine trees or that it's thoroughly covered with life. But if those are trees, and it certainly looks like trees, if they are, the question then is, who benefits from keeping that a secret? How do they benefit? And we have a lot of speculations to answer the question, don't we? I mean, we speculate that perhaps there is on Mars a base, our base, perhaps. There's a lot of rumors and a lot of stories out there, and people think, only nutty people would believe this. But there's a story out there that there is at least one U.S. base and possibly an additional U.S.-Russian base on Mars. People who say that that's the case also generally say that we have a base on the moon or two bases on the moon. I've had on this show a top scientist. By top, I mean really, really, really top, who said yes. That's true. There are bases. We have bases on the moon. I had on this show a CIA, former CIA pilot, who said, yes, it's true. There are bases on the moon. I cannot tell you that I know it's true because I haven't been there. I can tell you that there are people who are in a position where you would expect they would be able to know this, and they said, yes, it's true. Well, what about any kind of evidence for that? Well, I don't know about, really solid evidence for the bases, but how about some NASA evidence? Well, that's not, those who are watching, that's not the picture I wanted to put up there. The picture I wanted to show you shows what looks like the ruins of a small city. You've seen those. Again, what's the big deal? If these things are there, why are they trying to hide them? And why do they give us wacky explanations? Look, let's say, I'm just going to hold up my coffee cup. And let's say I hold this coffee cup up, you can see it. And you say, well, that's cool, that's a Kevin Smith Show coffee cup. And I say, no, that's not what that is. And you say, well, yeah, it is. I can see it's a coffee cup, and it's got the Kevin Smith Show logo and stuff on there. That's a Kevin Smith Show coffee cup. And I say, no, it really isn't. Really, what this is a bunny rabbit. It's your eyes are playing tricks on you. It's an optical illusion. It's a trick of lighting because it's really a bunny rabbit. How would you respond to that? You would think, I'm nuts. But it's exactly the flip side of that when it gets to things having to do with space and UFOs and extraterrestrials. You can look at it and you can say, hey, you know what? That looks like a building. I'll put the one from Mars back up. You look at that and you say, that looks like some big buildings down there on Mars. Looks like some kind of complex down there on Mars. And NASA and the various experts and then the pseudo-experts that take up the ranks of the debunkers come along and say, nah, not really. It's a trick of lighting. Look, that's just some natural formation. It's just a trick of lighting. Your eyes are lying to you. And we go away, a lot of people go away saying, oh, I guess there's a trick of lighting. And then those who don't go away saying it's a trick of lighting have to suffer the slings and arrows of idiots laughing at them and saying, oh, you believe in all that little green men stuff. This is manufactured reality. This is how they do it. what I do here is unspin the spin. You've heard me do it. I laugh at the spin doctors. I talk about how stupid they are, how foolish they are, and by God, you need to get you some better script writers. You've heard me do that. And I do it all the time. Why? Because they need to take some of their own medicine. The point is this. It is a manufactured reality, and all manufactured reality is based on deception. Think of Chris Angel or David Copperfield on the stage, and you watch them do something, and it's just, it looks like they did it, and yet they tell you it was an illusion. It was an illusion. It really didn't happen. It was a manufactured reality. And that's what people who are in places of authority and power and who have stepped down from holding that authority by truth and by consent, they've decided to hang on to it and increase their power by fear and force. This is what they do. They find something. They make it a secret. They tell you, if you discover it, that your eyes lied. They convince you, if they can, that it's a trick of light, it's a weather balloon, it's a Chinese wedding candle, it's something else, even though your eyes know what you saw and your mind knows what you saw. If your eyes didn't work and your mind lied to you all the time, there's no way you could function in life. You couldn't even drive a car. You couldn't walk down the street. But you let them convince you that a cow is a Cadillac. So here's what we do. What I do is try to unspin the spin. That's what it's about. Can it get dangerous? Yes, it can get very uncomfortable sometimes, I'll tell you that. It can get very frustrating sometimes. Yes, it can get dangerous. But every time we unspin the spin, every lie that we expose as a lie, even if we can't get to what is the truth, if we can expose a lie as a lie, it increases our little area of freedom. Freedom comes from knowledge. The old adage that knowledge is power? Nonsense. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. What I would like to do, oh, there is one other thing. Yeah, let me put that picture back up. One of the things you get told in school is that the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago, and there were no humans on Earth at the time. And you get told that there's not any evidence that there were any humans here at that time when the dinosaurs were here. You get told that we evolved much later than the dinosaurs, millions of years later. And there's no evidence to the contrary. Well, here is a picture. For those who are listening, it's a picture of some fossilized footprints in mud. Okay, at one point it was mud, now it's stone. What we have is a dinosaur footprint, and right beside it, a very human footprint, and very clear. A couple of things about that. First of all, either dinosaurs did not die out 65 million years ago, or there were humans 65 million years ago. One or the other. Because that dinosaur and that human stepped in that mud fairly close to each other in time maybe one right after the other. We don't know that. But it was still mud. I don't know which one stepped in it first, but whichever one stepped in it first, the other stepped in it very soon afterward. Or maybe at the same time. Maybe Joe Caveman was out walking his Triceratops. Don't know. We just don't know. But there's a dinosaur footprint, fossilized, and right beside it, a human footprint. That's one thing. Whichever way it goes, the humans and the dinosaurs were existing at the same time. There's another thing about this. You've heard me talk about how all over the United States and probably all over the world, every time someone digs up one of these old tombs where there's ancient tombs where there's a skeleton of a giant, that skeleton disappears. It vanishes. Okay, it gets taken into some museum and then it vanishes, and the public never gets to hear about it. Now, they used to publish that in the newspapers. But by the time we got into the early 1900s, those skeletons were disappearing just like that. We're talking about people who were 8 feet to 15 feet tall, right? You've read about them. You've heard about them. And now, all the reasonable, rational people laugh and ridicule if you say there was a time when there were human giants on this planet. Well, I want you to take a look at the fossilized footprint again, and I'll describe for those who are listening. There's a tape measure laid down there beside that footprint. That human foot is almost 2 feet long. That was a giant. That was a really, really big individual. That human footprint is bigger than the dinosaur footprint. All right, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to step away for a break. When we come back, I'm going to open up the telephone lines. It's not open line. Well, it is open line, but it's not bring your own topic. But anything you want to ask me about this show, anything you want to ask me or comment about how we do and what we do and why we do, I'll be more than happy to answer your questions as best that I can. You want to get on the inside of the processes here, how and why we do and what we do? Tonight, so we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to open up the telephone lines. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. And let's go to the telephone. Oh, also, if you're outside the USA and Canada, you can use the flash message option on my website if you don't want to make the international long-distance call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Now, I want you to go home and see your family, but I have a question for you.
All right.
What's going to happen to your show if they refuse to let you back in the country?
I can do this show from anywhere on the planet. I even have done it from the jungle in East Timor.
but your equipment is here.
Well, you just have to acquire some more equipment.
Or have it shipped to you or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it would be much cheaper to acquire it than it would be to have it shipped.
Yeah. Well, I just want you to know I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you, Brent. You know, a lot of people, I know because of the email that I get, a lot of people think this is just entertainment. Well, it's supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to be interesting and fun. But tonight, I hope I've shed a little bit of light on what's behind it, you know, why we're doing what we do. You know, it's very, very important for us if we're going to maintain any level of freedom that we don't just have, we need information, but it's got to be more than that. We have to analyze that information, unspin the spin, and get to as much of the truth as is contained in the information. And
so look at the dark, look at the information that's missing.
That's correct. That's part of the information, too. You know, part of the information is what are they not telling us here?
Yeah.
I appreciate the call.
Yep. Thanks.
Bye. All right. Bye. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Let me take a call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
Well, I hope that you do get to go see your family, but I hope you don't have any problem getting back in. Question is, this 2012 party you're going to have, is there any way you can do that on Skype so everybody, or some video feed so everybody can get in on it?
You know, if I do that, nobody will come.
Well, some of us can't afford to come.
I understand. Probably a video of it the next day, and on December the 22nd, we can probably do a video of what we did on December the 21st. But now I am going to do a live broadcast from there, but I'm not going to video the I'm not going to broadcast a video of the party. We'll do a live broadcast from the party, though. You know, it'll be radio.
Yeah, I'm afraid if you did a live broadcast of the party on video, that some of us older guys, our hearts wouldn't be able to take all that.
Well, now, well, now, listen, I'm a married man, and my wife will be there, and, you know, I got this little thing, a deal's a deal, and, even though if I'm not married, hey, the it's a whole different ball game then. But I'm married, and for me a deal's a deal, and that means you know, I'm not going to have any strippers or anything like that.
Yeah, I understand.
It will be a family safe party. However,
about this any more about this Lake Vostok you were talking about a while ago? Any more leaks coming out?
Well, not recent, but yeah, there is a leak that came out. I think it was in, I think this was about 2005 sometime. I'm not sure about that. But it's a story that I did not have in my possession when I did that show. There's a guy by the name of Joseph Held who has published on the internet a conversation he had with a friend of his. His friend's name is Bill. And let me just read this for you and see what you think. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read part of it. Joe says, haven't heard anything more about Vostok lately. It's been hushed up. Bill says, yeah, I noticed that. When I was working with old Navy divers working on Ice Harbor Dam, I heard an interesting story. They were in the Antarctic. Now listen to this. They were in the Antarctic diving in a secret location way below the ice. Okay, so they're diving, but way below the ice. They wouldn't say where. They had one buddy that was deep and panicked when something came at him. Whatever it was, it got him. And they said it was not a whale or a shark because it was in a freshwater lake inland. Okay, inland, freshwater lake, deep below the ice, secret location. So it doesn't say that it's Vostok, but, you know, whatever. The description certainly sounds like it. But, you know, in those diving, deep diving suits, they do have communication. They can talk. And they heard him screaming, "It's horrible. I don't have a chance. Don't come down here." And then he screamed, and that was it. He was gone. So they don't know what it was.
It could have been anything. I know that there were stories about that the United States and Russia used to have secret meetings in Antarctica, you know, beneath the ice. They'd, you know, go there in their submarines and have these meetings, and then on the surface they were telling everybody they were about to go to war.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard those stories too. The relationship between the United States and Russia has always been very interesting, and even back during the days of the Soviet Union, when we were supposedly, you know, just we were locked eyes with them, and it was, you know, any moment we were about to, one of us was about to set off a nuclear bomb. We were still cooperating on a lot of stuff, and there was a whole lot of trade between them and us.
Exactly. Okay, good show, Kevin. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number. If maybe you've wondered something like Glennis did. Glennis wondered, well, why do you do what you do, and isn't it dangerous? And I hope I've answered that for all of our new listeners. It is entertainment, but, you know, it's entertaining, it's fun, it's interesting. But we're dealing with information where there have been years and layers of lies and secrets. And when you deal with that kind of information, and you start peeling back the layers, and you start helping folks to understand how to analyze this stuff, and how to look at it, and how to see where there's layers, the danger comes from this. There's some reason that they made it a lie. There's some reason that they made it a lie. Maybe I can't get to what is the truth, but simply by showing from their own evidence why that's not true, why that can't be true. I'll give you a good example. In my book, Mars, Maximum Mystery, I get into this. It's an e-book. You can get it on the website. It's $9. NASA has been telling us for years, forever, that the atmosphere on Mars is so thin that there cannot be liquid water. That's what they've been telling us. There can't be liquid water. So you have ice, but when the summertime comes and it warms up, it goes straight from ice to vapor. That's what they've been telling us. No liquid water. And their own evidence, remember that Phoenix lander I told you about near the North Pole? It had its camera pointed down at the ground, and in that picture is one of the legs of the Phoenix lander sitting right on the ground, and there's water drops on it. And Dr. Peter Smith said, look there, there's some water drops. Their own evidence tells us they're lying. And you just identify that it is a lie, that's enough to make it a little bit dangerous sometimes. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Clay from Arkansas.
Hi, Clay.
I know you can't live in a shack or nothing like that, But what's your own personal budget? How much do you make a year? I mean,
I live on between $2 and $5 per day.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I know you can't live in a shack or, you know.
I sleep on the floor in the studio.
Yeah.
I sleep on the floor in my studio.
You live in your studio?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay, thank you.
All right. Yeah, a lot of people are amazed at that. They see, when you look at the numbers for our audience, and you think, wow, that guy must be making millions of dollars, because our audience is millions of people. The fact is, a teaspoon of those millions are willing to cough up 23 cents a day to support the show. That's it. And so I live in the studio. I sleep on the floor. I used to sleep right here where I'm sitting. I'd just move the chair and I'd sleep right here. But I've rearranged things. I now sleep there, just the other side of the camera, on the floor. And been doing that for years. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Kathy in Las Vegas.
Hello, Kathy.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. This is a very interesting show tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I have a slightly another example of how the manufactured reality. We were talking earlier about how we're headed into an ice age, and HAARP can manipulate the weather.
Uh-huh.
But then they have this thing called, let's put out the global warming and take all the rich yuppies' money. But so now they have this thing where you can bet on the futures for the weather. Like if it snows over a certain number of inches, like in Chicago, mm-hmm. then they can make money on that, like betting in a casino.
Really?
So they're actually telling everybody that it's warming in order so everybody will bet that it's going to get warmer when in actuality it's going to be an ice age and get colder.
So they're tipping the scales for the house there.
Probably. It sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you've probably heard me deal with that topic on the show. Global warming, what a fraud. Absolute fraud, scientifically untenable. Climate change? Oh, you bet. Climate change is happening, and if it weren't, the planet would be dead. Hey, thanks for the call. The break's taking over.
Okay, not a problem. Bye.
Bye. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about manufactured reality and what we do, why we do it, how we do it here at the show. And the telephone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment about anything we've talked about here tonight, or you got a question or comment about the show or what we do, how we do it, or why we do it, I'll be more than happy to answer it for you. I'm bearing my soul to you tonight, so this is a good night for you to ask your questions that, you know, you've always wondered about. Like, I remember when I first started wearing the hat for the show, I got a lot of email. Why, you know, I like the hat, but why are you wearing it? And, you know, sometimes people are just curious about things like that, and, So we want to give you the opportunity to ask whatever you want to ask, and I will do my best to answer it. The answer to that question, by the way, is because my head is bald, and it shines in the lights. We have to have, I know you think it's dark in here, but there's light. There are lights here. And my head shines in the lights, it reflects in the camera. And so I used to have to, you know, how ladies have a compact with powder and they put powder on their face. I used to have to put that on my head. And I hated it. And I said, I know how to cure that. So I wear a hat. A lot of you guys watch that show, that TV show, UFO Hunters, and you see Bill Burns on there. A lot of things about Bill Burns you don't know. One, did you know he is a PhD in psychology? Did you know he writes textbooks in psychology? In addition to that, did you know the reason you always see him with a cap on is he's bald-headed? You see, there's a few of us around. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call if you have a question or a comment. I got a flash message from Deborah in the UK, and Deborah wants to know, you talk about unspinning the spin, but if you can't get to what is true, how is that unspinning the spin? Well, if we spin it back down to the story you just told me isn't true, that's unspinning the spin. Whenever you may not be able to spin it further and get to what is the truth, but you've at least unspun the lie that was used. I don't think that the military lies to us all the time, but they do sometimes. They use cover stories, especially, you know, UFOs and things like that. They use cover stories. And a cover story, by definition, is a lie. It's a deception. There may be real, honest-to-God reasons why they do that. And we may not be able to spin all the way back to what is the actual truth. But if we can unspin the lie, then what we're left with is it was a UFO. You see, it was not a Chinese wedding candle. It was not a flare. It was a UFO. Why they don't want to tell us and why they don't want to give us the information that they have on it, we may not be able to get to that. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. Usually we cannot. That's so deeply, highly classified that you can't unspin that. But the story they put out, and what's the value of that? Is the value so that now people don't trust the military when they give us a statement? No, that's not the intent. It's not the purpose, and it shouldn't be the result. The value is that you're free now to understand you saw it, you're not crazy, and people that ridicule you are just dumb. You're free from all of the weight, the burden that the spin put on it, you see. And therefore, you're also mentally free from them controlling your thoughts on this. That's the value of it. That's the purpose of it. It's freedom. And that's what we do, and that's why I do it. Sometimes, in spinning it backward and showing that the evidence, their own evidence, proves what they just told you isn't true, sometimes the value of that is that if you spin it real well, and you know, if you really got a good analysis, it may rock just a little further back towards what is actually the truth, you see. And so that's when it starts to get dangerous, because then you're getting too close. It starts to get a little bit dangerous. It's not dangerous for you to know it. It may be a little bit dangerous for me to say it. However, I will tell you this. I don't hold back. If I know something and I actually know it, I'll tell you. There's only been one case where I didn't. I told you about that. And that's where the person who had given me information and told me it was not classified, but it probably would be in a few days, called me back and said he had been threatened and asked me not to talk about it on the air. And out of concern for that person's actual safety, I didn't. But generally, what we're dealing with here on the show, we're dealing with information that I have researched and analyzed, or we're dealing with information that a guest has researched and analyzed, and it's not something where somebody else is going to be in danger. And so if I know it, I tell you. And I think over the years, those of you who have been listening, you've heard me say things where you thought at the time, you know, I think that Kevin Smith guy, it's a good show and everything, but I think he may be just kind of around the corner on this one, and I'm not sure he's got this right. I think this is a little bit far-fetched. And you've watched how over the years, as time progressed, we reached a point where, bingo, it turned out exactly like what I said. Now, I'm not saying that I'm infallible. I'm not. I won't pretend that I am. And I can't predict the future. I don't predict the future. But if you've got a bucket of yellow paint and I see you pouring blue paint into it, it's not a prediction when I say, you know, that's going to be green. It's just a matter of looking at the trend and seeing where it's headed. It's not a prediction. It's based on what we know, and we take those facts that we know about mixing blue and yellow and project it into the future, and we say if you keep mixing it, it's going to be green. But I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not a predictor of the future. But when we analyze what they're telling us, sometimes we can see where it's headed. And that's a very important thing. Well, I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. It's been a whole different approach to the show. It's not something I do very often, but, you know, I wanted to open up tonight. I wanted to answer this email from Glennis, and because I know a lot of you probably have the same questions. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to call in with whatever questions you had for me. Hope you enjoyed it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.